All of those words are descriptive words to show the meaning of the word faithful. And that's not even a complete list. I could have put way more in there. But it gives us something to go on to get an idea of what it is to be faithful. We also know that being faithful is one of the manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit. And I want to go there right now. Galatians chapter 5, we're going to read verses 22 to 24. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. The fruit of the Spirit can take a lifetime for us to become. Say that one more time. The fruit of the Spirit can take a lifetime for us to become. The fruit is who we should be. It is who God wants us to be. He wants us to be these things: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. All of the manifestations of love is what they are. Hallelujah. Now, I can tell you that I am far closer today to this outcropping of the fruit of the Spirit than I was 40 years ago. Absolutely. Much closer, but still so far away from where I believe the Lord wants me to be. Not fully there yet, not even by a long shot. So how do we attain these beautiful, wonderful, amazing attributes? I really don't want to tell you this part, but it comes through trial and suffering and tribulation, and sprinkled with the Holy Ghost in there. The Lord helps us, causes us to grow through our circumstances and situations. He stretches us. And we become more like Him. Hallelujah. But for tonight, I want to focus just on the one attribute, which is being faithful. When I began to pray and seek the Lord, He gave me one word. Just one word, and that word was faithful. And so I'm going to go to Luke 16:10, which says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much." Faithful is important. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. So I want to take a minute, just a quick minute, to take a look at someone from our very distant past and have a look at what his life looked like and how faithful he was to God. And Pastor touched on him this morning. I love when the Lord does that. Genesis chapter 37. We're going to go there right now. We're going to just read verses 5 through 8. Now, Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. Joseph was about 17 right now, and in this time span, and his brothers were already jealous of him. And so here he is telling them this dream. Now they hate him even more. And so he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I've dreamt. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. And then, behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brothers said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. You know, Joseph was a man with a vision. God had given him a promise. And we know this was just one of two dreams that he actually had. The other one included his parents also bowing down to him. And we also know that his brothers sold him into slavery because they hated him so much. We know that he was purchased and taken into Potiphar's house, where Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. And then when he wouldn't bow to that, she lied about him and had him thrown into prison. So he stayed in prison until the time of the Lord setting him in his place. And in those few seconds I've just taken to explain what happened, 14 or so years have passed. Like, it's a ridiculous amount of time that passed in those few little words. But in all that time, I have not found in Scripture where it says that Joseph doubted God, or that Joseph gave up on the dream, or that Joseph didn't put God first. In fact, just the opposite. You can see through the Scripture how faithful Joseph was in every circumstance. I can't even begin to fathom having my own family, my brother, sell me as a slave. What? That is insane to me. But that's what his brothers did, because they were jealous and they hated him because he had more affection and attention from their dad than he got, or he had more attention than they got. So here he was, sold into Egypt, made a slave, thrown into prison, and now the time comes when he has been taken from the prison and he is placed in Pharaoh's house because he was able to interpret some dreams for him. And Pharaoh puts him as second in command over all of Egypt. Now Joseph is in his 30s. And his brothers come, and what do? They bow before him. The fulfillment of the dream from when he was 17 takes place. Genesis 45, we're going to read verses 4 through 8. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." So they came near. And then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there is still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and Lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt." I tell you, verse 8, the beginning, is so beautiful. It shows us the heart of Joseph. "And so now it was not you who sent me here, but God." But God. Joseph recognized, even throughout all the troubles, all the trials, all the tribulations, all the misery he went through, God's hand was in it to place him in a situation, in a time, in a season where he would be in the place that God had meant for him to be, so that he could deliver his family out of this famine, and they would become the children of Israel. Hallelujah. He chose to take the hand of the Lord and to wait patiently for the Lord to answer the promise he had made to him. There was a choice on Joseph's part. Hallelujah. Joseph was faithful to wait for God, and God was faithful to pour out of his promise in its time. And when God did, he made everything beautiful. It has been my experience. Now, I'm not going to say this is how God works. I'm just saying this is my experience. That God makes a promise to me. It's usually not for something that's going to happen a week down the road. More like years. And I don't know why the Lord does that. But he'll tell me something, and then there's the wait. And then there's the wait. Oh, and then there's the wait. But when God has made promises to me, and I've known it was the Lord, he's always brought them to pass at the perfect time. We can trust him in those situations, but we do have to learn how to be patient and wait, because God knows things we don't know, and he has things he has to set up all over the place on the puzzle map in order for our puzzle piece to fit in. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So tell me, what is it in our old nature that wants to wander all the time, that wants to give up, that wants to throw in the towel? I want to take a look at some characters that may help us better understand where we need to be in order to be able to truly be faithful to God. Now, we just recently got to go on a cruise. It was awesome. But I think what made it even more awesome was that they had Bible studies that you could go to. And it wasn't run by any of the ship. It was for the passengers, and the passengers were the ones that ran it. And I can tell you that the Christians that were there, for the most part, not all, but for the most part, they were sand dwellers and or knee-deep splashers.